This morning's reading is from Psalm 72. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him with gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given to him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. May corn abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. May the crops flourish like Lebanon and thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Now, the day that they invented the chocolate advent calendar, it was a great day, wasn't it? So apart from Easter Sunday, it gives us the great opportunity to start the day eating chocolate. In fact, 24 days. I have brought my advent calendar along here, just for you to see. So it's got all these little characters. I've described it in great detail to Ben. So Ben knows all about it. So it has all of these characters in these doors. So obviously each day you open one of the doors. So when I have finished for the year, it takes me quite a long time putting the characters back because I want to start it with the innkeeper, and then obviously there's an order to when things should happen. So I start with the innkeeper, need a few of his animals there. Then we have Mary and Joseph arriving on the donkey, etc., leading up to, in the end, the wise men. And then on the 24th, we've got the baby Jesus. But for some reason, after last year, I decided to go a bit off-piste. I thought this was a good idea. And each day, so instead of putting them away in order, I close my eyes and I put them away randomly. I know. And I'm an accountant. So by the 4th of December, I had an incredibly confused angel proclaiming to an equally confused cow and goat and sheep that she brings good news of great joy, that a king is born. And I found that quite difficult. Likewise, when Ben said, Nicole, would you be able to do the talk today? And I thought, right, last Sunday before Easter, it's going to be on Nativity. Yes, no problem. But no, it was on Psalm 72, and that wasn't what I was expecting. So I did have a bit of a crisis, and it took me quite a while to realise what the passage was talking about, but it actually does say quite a lot. So So anyway, Psalm 72, let's get started. So it is attributed to King David. So Jesus's great-great times 14 granddad, as a prayer for his son Solomon, who was going to succeed him. So right at the very beginning, top on his list of wishes for his son's reign is for him to judge with justice and righteousness. And this theme of justice and righteousness is continued throughout the whole psalm, talking about defending the afflicted and saving the children of the needy. As Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And he said, true peace is not merely the absence of tension, it's the presence of justice. And I'd never really stopped to consider what justice actually looks like, and hence why it was so clearly very important for the future king. But justice is critical. It ensures fairness, protects rights, it maintains a stable society by holding people accountable and providing equal opportunities. It creates a system where individuals are treated equitably and they can live without fear of being mistreated and feel secure knowing that the law is going to be applied fairly. And it's fundamental, and you can really see why it's the first thing in this prayer for Solomon's forthcoming reign. It's also at the very beginning of King Charles's coronation oath, which stretches back for centuries. So the Archbishop asks him, will you solemnly promise and swear to govern the peoples of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, your other realms, and the territories to any of them belonging or pertaining, according to their respective laws and customs? And the king replies, I solemnly promise to do so. And then the Archbishop asks, will you, to your power, cause law and justice in mercy to be executed in all your judgments? And the king replies, I will. So throughout the psalm, we read, defend the afflicted, save the children of the needy, and redeem them from oppression and violence. And again, we see the exact same themes running through lots of mission statements of charities and organisations. Oxfam's mission is to combat poverty and social injustice. The United Nations goal number one is to end poverty in all forms everywhere. The UN Secretary General stated that ending poverty is a question of justice. And the World Bank has said that barriers to access justice are a central dimension of poverty and have released a strategy of justice reform. So justice is at the very heart of our society. So if we ever find ourselves wondering if the Bible that was written 3,000 years ago, or this part was anyway, is relevant to us today, we really don't have to look too far from this passage. But the psalm doesn't stop there. It just keeps delivering, and we now get to the reason that Ben chose this group of psalms for us to look at during Advent. So from verse 10 we read, may the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down and all nations serve him. Here we go. It is the story of the Nativity, after all. And the more you look at it, the more you realise that we're actually getting the ultimate Black Friday deal with this psalm, because we're getting two conversations for the price of one. So the psalm clearly starts off as a prayer for Solomon's forthcoming reign. So that's conversation number one. But it's also a prophecy about the birth of Jesus and his reign. So conversation number two. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, and the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. This feels part of the prayer for Solomon. But then the last section feels more prophetic about Jesus' reign. For he will deliver the needy who cry out. He will take pity on the weak. He will rescue them from oppression and violence. May gold from Sheba be given to him. And then it feels as though we're drifting back towards Solomon's reign, with may grain abound throughout the land. And Solomon actually goes on to be known for his wisdom and justice. So in 1 Kings 3, we read, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God asks, ask whatever you want, and I will give it to you. And Solomon answers, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. And God replied, since you've asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. And Solomon reigned with great wisdom and justice initially. He later lost his way, being human, but we see in Jesus the perfect example of walking in justice. It's a beautiful piece of writing, with this prayer for Solomon being so intertwined with his prophecy of the coming Jesus and how his reign will be anchored in justice and God's righteousness. And boy, do we see it in Jesus's life. So Jesus demonstrated justice through his actions, such as healing the sick, caring for the outcast, challenging oppressive systems. He proclaimed freedom for the oppressed, and his purpose was to bring good news to the poor. He frequently confronted hypocrisy, and he criticized those who focused on religious rituals while ignoring justice and mercy and righteousness. And this is illustrated beautifully in John chapter 8, when he sees a group of people about to stone a woman caught in adultery, and he says, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Instead of focusing on punishment, Jesus' approach to justice is often restorative. Restorative. Still doesn't sound right. Aiming to heal relationships and restore dignity to both victims and offenders. And we saw this a few weeks ago in Jesus' interaction with the Samaritan woman at the well. So he challenged her choices, but he didn't condemn. He worked to restore her and not flood her with shame. Jesus talked about the importance of continually seeking justice, even from an unjust authority, and he used this to illustrate God will ultimately grant justice to all those who cry out to him. So this is all well and good, but then I got stuck on the vital question. So what? Because it kind of felt to me that this was just a prayer for those in leadership. It was just relevant to those in leadership. And so this is why I messaged Ben about a month ago when I was having a bit of a crisis of confidence, because I just couldn't answer this so what question until I remembered what I witnessed in a Portaloo at New Wine about 20 years ago. So New Wine was a big, huge annual festival held in Bath and West Showground. About 20,000 people would come each week. You got an allocated week. And you can imagine that the Portaloos and Portashowers, they did a lot of work. There was a team that would come in to clean them, so that the toilets were always pretty good. But you can imagine, by the end of the week, the floor would have a load of wet cut grass on it and paper towels overspilling and everything. And I remember this particular morning where I'd come out of the loo and I noticed a woman who was washing her hands, and she was wearing, and I only remember this coming in this morning, her T-shirt said Boulder Gang. So she was one of the children's workers. All the children's groups had different names. She had a T-shirt that said Boulder Gang. So that was her role at New Wine. And she got this paper towel, a clean paper towel in her hand, and then she just scooped up all the paper towels and wet grass on the floor and just plonked it in the bin. Took her a minute and she left. And that really hit me, and I thought, oh yeah. And I think subconsciously, I'd obviously noticed the paper towels and the grass, but there were cleaners that were going to do that. But then when I saw her do it, I thought, no, actually, yeah, of course, I can do that. And I still do it. I still do it today. And that lady will never know the impression that she's made on me. So she changed my awareness, and she changed my attitude, and she's changed my behaviour, and I realised that sounds awfully like leadership to me. And then I realised that we all share in this role of leadership, and it's not merely the responsibility of kings and presidents and governments, it's our responsibility too. So we can all do this. We can do this by conducting ourselves with fairness and respect and equality in all our interactions. So treating others with respect and fairness means approaching them without prejudice, regardless of background, status, identity. Do we ever notice ourselves all too quickly maybe dismissing or not really paying attention to something that somebody said? You know, we all do it. Maybe there's a colleague at work who's a bit of an idiot, actually. And so we don't really listen to what they've got to say. And maybe we need to ask ourselves, why is that? Where does that come from? Is it just because of an incident that happened like years ago? Do we just dismiss things all too readily? Do we treat those people who dress like us, who have houses like us, who sound like us, do we treat them differently from those who don't? And it may be an uncomfortable journey, you know, really noticing our unconscious prejudices and bias that we all hold and are blissfully unaware of. We can do this by being honest and taking responsibility for our actions. And this means acting with integrity in all of our dealings and holding ourselves accountable for our actions and our mistakes. We can take responsibility and acknowledge how our actions affect others and apologise and talk to someone maybe who we've been in conflict with to understand the harm that's been caused and see if we can look at a way to move forward. And this whole aspect of fessing up is really hard, but But it's so powerful and it releases everybody to start looking at their own mistakes. And we can do this by listening to different perspectives and striving to understand the experiences of those from marginalised backgrounds or different backgrounds to ourselves. And this really helps confront our personal bias. And finally, we can speak out against injustice. So not being silent when we witness discrimination or bias or unfairness. So as I reflect on this passage, and certainly my journey in preparing for this talk, what on first glance appeared to me to be a prayer for the wonderful things King David wished for his son Solomon, and therefore not really relevant to my life, I can see how it absolutely is. The themes run throughout the world today, from the top level all the way down to each and every one of us, and the critical leadership parts we all play in our families and our friendship groups and our workplaces and society, and how our actions have the power to change behaviour, maybe one paper towel at a time. Amen.